Very appropriate song for this morning's lesson. We thank you so much for the singing. And it's been good, hasn't it? It's been really, really good singing this morning. We're thankful for the rain. Amen. How many of y'all drove in the rain to get here today? And that means you're committed. You know, that would have been a good excuse for some. Just it's raining and the Lord gonna understand my heart. Yeah, but you go to work, though. He understand that, too. So, putting God first, I commend you all for being here this morning. If you're visiting, you're an honored guest. Go ahead and turn your Bible to John chapter 8. It's where we're going to be at today. I'm still so excited about yesterday. Wonderful, wonderful time at the Wild Game Fellowship. Amen. It was a wonderful time. John chapter 8. Certainly, if a person has not been saved, they need to believe in Jesus. You need to believe he hung, bled, and died for your sins. And I hope you came this morning. If you're one of those people who have not given your life to the Lord, you came this morning to do that, believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing him to be the Son of God. And we will carry out his command to baptize you for the remission of your sins. Amen. How many of y'all glad to be alive this morning? I am so thankful. Just for another day God has blessed me with. Let's look at this one this morning. John chapter 8. John has been a wonderful study. I don't know about you. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to get some of the other golden chapters, such as chapter 14, where he says, let not your heart be troubled. Moving us into chapter 17 with the unity of the Spirit, and then into the 18, 19. That'll be the details of his life, his last 24 hours, where he would die on the old rugged cross. And it's going to be some great in-depth studies upcoming. So this has been just a wonderful book. But remember, this book of John, the Bible says, John says, truly many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these that are written that you might believe. So these are written that you might believe. This is a book that helps, that he worked on his disciples' belief system from the time he selected him. In John chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says, there then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am. Now he's determining who he's proclaiming who he is. I am the light of the world. And the Bible says Jesus said that a person that follow me will not walk in darkness.
But shall have the light of life.
Now, the thing you need to understand about when he said, I am light of the world, Jesus, light represents God. It's very simple. Light represents God. Darkness does not. Darkness represents Satan. Now, you know, the sad good Ephesians chapter 6, brothers, friends, neighbor, listen carefully. We want to straddle the fence. But either you're walking in the light, or you walking in darkness. And so you can't have it both ways. And so we understand that when we come to the church building, or when we're dealing with life as Christians, we're in a spiritual warfare, light against darkness. I don't know why we think that the devil gonna leave us alone. He's not. We're gonna have to fight to go to heaven. And it's a spiritual fight. It's not against flesh and blood. Listen to the Bible, verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to the Bible say, we lose focus easily. Notice he said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. In the power of his might. Being in the Lord means you've obeyed him. You are now in the body of Christ, the church. And then he says,
put on the whole armor of God.
In the Lord, you got to put on some protection. You got to put on the whole armor of God. Read.
That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
The reason you got to be geared up and armored because you got to stand against the wiles or the trickeries of the devil. I always use this analogy here is that what the devil does is the same thing we do to a rat. We take a rat and trap him. We put a piece of cheese or peanut butter on the trap. That's what wiles mean. The devil going to put on the trap whatever it is that'll kill you spiritually. Amen. He's not gonna take your house away from you. He don't have that type of stuff. Interest. His interest is in your spiritual well-being. You know, I'm gonna say this. I'm convinced that I've been in church 30 some years. Many people are not at the church because they want to be spiritual. I'm convinced of that. Many people doesn't come to worship to be spiritual, or even I question, is there even an attempt to go to heaven? You say, why you say that, brother? Because we don't fight like we're trying to go to heaven. Listen to what I mean. He said, we wrestle not against
flesh and blood.
People will get in an argument with each other, and they turn them off spiritually. But the wrestle is not against who?
Blood.
It's not against each other, you all. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not Brother Brooks against you, or you against the neighbor, or your sister and brother in Christ. He says not against flesh and blood. It's against
principalities.
Principalities. Principles.
Powers.
Against
principal powers. The darkness of this world.
Notice what he says. The rules of who?
The darkness of this world.
Of the rulers with a plural on. It's more than one. Satan and his angels are alive and well and kicking. It's the world of darkness. And he says
against spiritual wickedness
in high places. This is our fight. This is the world's fight. The world's fight, you all, is against the satanic spiritual side of the world. No one wants to think in terms of that, because we want this salvation matter, and I'll get to that later, to come in such an easy way, but God has given us a way, but it has to be in the light. What do you mean? Get to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5. Get 1 John. Y'all write these scriptures down, because this is very important for you to get, and I want you to assess it. Assess yourself. Ask yourself, am I really interested in going to heaven? Ask yourself that. And then ask yourself, how hard am I working at it? This Bible said, this then is
the message which we have heard
that
of him.
We've heard of him and declare unto you that
God is light.
God, this is what my point is. And I just want to keep it simple. Like, God, light, turn the lights off, no God. Light on, God. That's it. Notice when most of the evil things take place, daytime or nighttime? Night, darkness. Now, in the Bible, it's right on this matter. He says, now, notice what he said. John says,
and in him is no darkness at all.
There's no darkness in God at all. Notice what. So if we say that we are Christians and we are in fellowship with God, then he says,
and walk in darkness,
but we keep living this life of darkness,
we lie.
That's a lie.
And do not.
So, you know what? You can't say both. We can't say it both ways. You know, and notice what he says. He says, but if we walk in the light,
as he is in the light,
then
we have fellowship one with another.
Walking in light doesn't mean you're perfect. Get Psalm 119:105 for me. Walking in light doesn't mean you are a perfect person. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying when we talk about when we walk in the light, the Bible tells us this, that David said, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, when Jesus said, I am the light, what he's saying is that in the New Testament, that's the specific commands that we follow in order to get to heaven. We understand that the whole Bible is from God. It gives us light. But how to get to heaven as New Testament Christians is written in the words of God. And Jesus said, I am, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In other words, if you don't do what Jesus said do, you're not walking in the light. Specifically, you must do it with the way Jesus said it. Listen here. Listen here. I want us all to understand this, because this is important to me. I know this. I have not lived a perfect life, and neither have you. I don't need you to tell me that. I already know. He said, we don't need no fake preachers in the audience. We don't in the pulpit. Be real about the thing. I'm fighting a fight, but I am fighting. That's where I raise my hand and say, the difference between me and the man in the street is that I fight the key, try to get to heaven. He ain't doing nothing. For the old folk who don't come to worship, they don't have a chance. Amen. What is the problem? What is the problem? Let's be real, man. If I divorce because somebody cheated on them. And what I'm saying, you run the divorce court when the objective is forgiveness of S-I-N. It didn't say which one. It amazes me. Why go to divorce court when you can forgive? Now you say, well, I just can't do it. Well, let me ask you a real question now. Let's get. Now, is heaven a part of, yes or no? Yes or no? Thank you, Brother Straw. The answer for the person who says they're trying to be a Christian and go to heaven is going to be what? Yes. So do you understand that you got to forgive the brother or the sister who cheated on you to get to heaven anyway? So if that's the case, why not work on forgiveness before you even discuss divorce? Because number one, God hates divorce. Number two, God don't categorize sin, so he don't see her sin any bigger than your lying or being unforgivable. When you can't forgive a person, you in as deep a trouble as the person that did wrong. Say amen when you can. Yeah, you might well see it, right? If we get this thing in perspective, man, we stop looking at which sin and start doing. We're going to confess all sin and forgive all sin. God, why? Isn't that what God wants us to do? Isn't that what we want God to do for us? Mm-hmm. Amen. Say it again.
Amen.
But here's the thing. We cannot be Sunday-only Christians. That's my most spiritual moment on Sunday morning. I mean, we are to be Christians in the light daily. You know, when we're walking and we're following the word of God, that's what I mean by not perfection. Perfection doesn't mean you're not going to fall. Perfection means, did you do what God told you to do to get up? That means I have to ask God to forgive me, I have to confess, and I have to get it right with God. And that's all that means. It doesn't mean anything. Jesus went, if we could do it without that, Jesus went to the cross for nothing. He went to the cross because we can't do it for ourselves. Here's the thing, and this is the harder part for us, I think, and even for me. You never want to think about, man, I serve the devil. But listen to Matthew, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Look, it depends on where you're putting your treasure. Listen to what Jesus said in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt,
and where thieves break through and steal.
The stuff here don't have no meaning to heaven. Read on.
But lay up for yourself
treasures
in heaven.
But here's where you put value. Put value in this. He said, here's your, you put treasure of value in
heaven.
Read.
Where neither moth nor rust
ain't nobody, ain't gonna be corrupted. He said, but thieves can't take that from you.
Steal.
Your treasure is?
There's where your heart
where you want. If you want it bad enough, you can do it. How many of us can say, there are things that I don't do now that I was doing before I became a Christian? Because we can do what we want to do. We can stop. We can repent when we want to. We can make change. The devil ain't got nothing on us. God has gave us the power to do it. It's a mind thing. It's not, brother, it's not that we can't love. It's not that we can't be forgiven. It's not that we can't forgive. It's not that we can't be faithful. It's that we have to make our mind ups to be. And once we make our mind up, we can be what we want to be in our sight of God.
Amen.
Listen to what he says. Wherever your treasure is, that's the way you're going to think. The light of the body is what?
The eye.
The eye.
If therefore thine eye be single,
yeah,
thy whole body shall be full of light.
So if you got one big eye, you got a whole lot of light coming in. Read.
But if thine eye be evil.
But you got an eye that's with evil, it's darkness.
Thy whole body shall be full of darkness.
And so he said, now either light is lighting you up or darkness is. If you're full of evil. Notice what he said. Full of evil. He said you're full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness.
How great is that darkness?
Well, here's how great the darkness is, brothers and sisters. Our souls will be lost. That's great darkness. Notice what he says.
No man can serve two masters.
Now here's what it comes down to. Decision making time. No man can serve what?
Two masters.
Two masters.
For either he will hate the one.
You're going to hate one or
love the other.
Or
else he will hold to
the one
despise the other.
And despise the other. Read.
You cannot serve God
now,
and mammon.
Notice this. He said you cannot, impossible, to serve God and mammon. Mammon means money personified as a little g god. Little g. The god of this world is called the god of the little g god. Here it is. Turn your mic on. Anything you put before big G is your little G. The girl you shacking with. The man you living with. Unmarried. That's your little G. Yeah. Your job that you put before worship, your little G. Amen. Somebody. Your mama. It could be your mama, your sister, your brother. It can be family members. It can be wife. It can be husband. Amen. Anything you put
before big G is your mammon. You know, there are people that'll justify working on Sunday when they can be off. Why get quiet when you start telling the truth about folk? Folk will put more into getting a higher education than they will getting a spiritual education. I guarantee no trigger numbers. You don't know Genesis or Revelation. Don't know which book is in the front or the back. Go to Genesis, they go all the way to the back. That's Revelation. Highly educated people. Amen. PhDs don't know Bible. Can be the president of the universe. They ain't talking about 2 Corinthians. If a man's smart enough to be a president of the United States, he ought to get some advice before he going to quote scripture. Right. 2 Corinthians. What kind of stuff is that? And for you liberals, you love that I'm talking about Trump right now. But you voted for abortionist, because of black skin. Mm. Be careful. Sin is sin. Mm. It ain't the skin. It's the sin that's a problem. Yeah, I tagged them right there. They didn't like that. It ain't a political move. It's about what's right. Amen. If a man is spiritual, you have understanding of spirituality. You can be so educated that you miss the important things of life. The important thing is that we're educated on what God has said, what thus said the Lord. Sometimes we put education, careers, jobs, homes, cars. What's your little G? I'm going to tell you how you do it. If your little G keeps you from Bible class on Wednesday nights, your little G keep you from back on this afternoon, your little G might be your 52-inch. And your love for football, your Cowboy fan. You might be a Cowboy fan. They struggling right now. Are the Cowboys winning anything or are they losing? Who playing today? Ain't nobody going to help me?
Football's over with.
Who?
Football's over with.
Oh, it is? See how close I am? That ain't my little G. I don't even know what season it is. But you know who little G? It might be one on the front row, because he knows it's out of season. He told off on himself, too. Am I right about it? Yeah, but y'all get the point. Then you start talking about, what about, why are you going to say that about my mother and father, man? If you put more, if you give your mother more love than you will your God, that's your God. I better get some Bible for that. I just don't talk about my mama, man. What's wrong with you? Give me Matthew 10:35 so I can drop that on him. Because that dude already balled his fist up. You know, man, when I was growing up, you better not talk about my mama. Man. Boy, that's a fighting word there. Don't you use no word with my mama name. My mama, don't say nothing about mama. But listen, Jesus going to say something about mama. Get Matthew 10:35, and you ball your fist up at him. What the book say?
For I am come to set a man at variance against his father.
Yeah, variance means difference. Read.
And a daughter against her mother.
Daughters and mothers can have differences. When it comes to Jesus, read.
And a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Lord help us, Jesus. Come on, man.
And a man's foes shall be they of his own household.
What? So what is he saying to us? What is he saying? He said in a variance, if a man or woman choose mama, daddy over God, your mama is your little God. But a mother that loves her children ain't going to make you choose her over God, is she? No. If she love us all. Did I get all I wanted there? Get verse 37.
He that loveth father or That's mother.
One. Now, here's what he does. He that loveth
father or mother than me is not worthy of me.
What? Unball your fist. Stop pooching out your lip. And think about what the Lord just said. He said, you're not even worthy. Your mama didn't die on the cross for you. And that's what happens when you go to these denominational funerals. They always want to point everybody up to the person that's already dead and gone. I can see mama now up there walking the street of gold. Mama ain't on no street of gold yet. Amen. If she made it, if she's saved, she's in paradise. She's being cared for by angels, but she ain't walking no street yet. If you knew anything, it don't say streets anyway. It says street. You got to know your Bible. You got to know your Bible. So, you know, I'm good enough for mama, was good enough for me. That's choosing mama over God. If mama was wrong in her religious beliefs, then you don't choose mama over God.
Amen.
That's a mistake. What are you doing? You sold your soul away. Now, I can love my mother, but there's a limit. The limit is in my salvation.
Amen.
Listen to this. In Romans 6:16, the Bible says, "Know ye not that you yield yourself servants to whom yourself yield yourself servants to obey his servant you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto right." Here's what he's simply saying is that like, we choose to obey Satan or not. We choose darkness over light. That's all. So you can't say the devil made me do it. You say I chose the devil. That's all you can do. You can't be like Flip. Was that Flip Rizzo?
Yeah.
The devil ain't made you do nothing. They're like these folk who call themselves insane, killing other folk, talking about the devil. And Brother Stroud about this mountain. Why is it that the voices they hear always tell them to do something bad? Why don't the voices they hear tell them to do something good?
Yeah.
You got to think about that. Was he crazy? Or did you plan the situation? You planned to kill all them people. Mm-hmm. You were smart enough to plan it, map it out, detail it, pull the fire alarm, and now you're crazy? Your influence is of the satanic influence. That's what makes people do evil. We don't call them suicide bombers insane. They killing themselves along with the people they kill. Well, you make an argument for everything we do ain't crazy. The life folk act like they crazy around here at the church sometimes. We act like we crazy. You say, brother, what are you talking about? People, you see people act up. You say, why are you doing that? You're just acting crazy. That's unnecessary behavior. Mm-hmm. You really don't have to do that. I'm telling somebody, you know, one of my greatest joys serving the Lord is doing this part, preaching the word. What I don't like is dealing with people's personalities, conflicts. I tell Brother Stroud this all the time. Brother Stroud and I just, I couldn't have a better sister minister. Somebody that we can talk about almost, and we've never had one argument. How long have we been together, Brother Stroud? In the 10 years we've served together, we've not had one argument. Not one. Because first of all, we both love each other, and we have our focus on what's trying to do, what's God, what's right. When we come into a discussion of scripture, bring us back to point. And if we can do it, every Christian can do it. You don't have to let the personality of the other person take you into a dark room. Because you say, well, you know, two wrongs don't make a what?
Right.
So if one Christian is acting wrong, that don't mean the other Christian got to act wrong. That's all I'm saying. You can choose darkness over light, or light over darkness, right over wrong. How are we going to be a more spiritual church? The more of our members choose right over wrong, we're going to be more in the light. And is this a hard sermon or just a factual sermon? It's a factual sermon, man. And I've been talking about being spiritual more and more. When I was getting to it, that my what takes my joy down is dealing with people. Like, man, really? You know, I got a sick wife, and I'm sick myself, and then you got people that are going at each other for what? Life is too short for that kind of stuff.
Amen.
I mean, you want to rob my joy? Call me with some crazy stuff. So brother, we ain't gonna enjoy this conversation. I'm getting ready to happen. Nope, I'm not. And don't give me you get paid to do it. No, I don't have to like it. I don't have to like it. Now I don't have to what? Like it. And I don't. That's why I hope and pray we get elders soon, so that if they like it, they can deal with it. I know what we need. Don't trust me. The pastoral side of this brings no joy to my heart. It doesn't. That's why he said a man that desired the work of a bishop desired a good work, the office of a bishop. The man shouldn't desire the office and the power to come with decision making. He should desire the work of serving the sheep.
Amen.
And what he's doing is dealing with sheep that sometimes are too dumb to see 15 foot in front of them, so he has to walk them through the valley of the shadow of death. He takes a rod and a staff and hook them and pull them back in line. He stab them when they ain't doing right. When they act right, he take that rod and throw it at them. That's what David said, that rod and that staff. That's a sheep and a shepherd relationship. That's an elder's job. My job is to preach to the wolf, kill him. My job is to take the word of God and cut his. And when I got good elders, they don't want me to be doing nothing but cutting. They're going to be doing the pastoring, the shepherding, because that's what they love to do. Amen. Everybody don't want to be a doctor. Everybody don't want to be a nurse. Some people can't deal with sick people. Man, I couldn't work in hospice. I don't see how anybody work in hospice. You're finna watch them die. I can't, but there's some special people that can work in a hospice. They can take old people, people who really don't have to be old. They can't take her and clean them up all day long, and they love it. That's their joy. But everybody don't have that desire. And that's what I'm saying about what we do here. If we're going to be, I know all of you, many of you are much like me. We don't want to see anyone leave the church. We don't want to see anyone leave. We don't want to see anyone be unhappy. We want to do everything we can. It's going to take all of us to do that. Amen. Let's go back to John 8, man. We'll get off of that. But it's still the truth. I'm trying to take us to this spiritual place that I haven't seen us at yet. He said now, verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, I'm in verse 14 of John 8.
Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go.
You know, Jesus gave me an example right there. I thought about you shouldn't have to go back and forth when you're telling the truth to somebody. Just, okay. You leave it at that. Why are we going back and forth when you know I just told the truth? I mean, you don't work at trying to convince somebody you told the truth. Just let the truth stand. It'll stand. You don't have to try to work on it. You don't have to convince. Well, let me help you understand. No, I just told you the truth. Now, when you told a lie, then you're going to have a whole lot of different ones. Because when you can't hold the same lie, it's going to change. Something's going to change. They proved that in court. Just keep asking them the same truth. Interrogator. They know the lawman. No, ask the question again.
Yeah.
Just ask it a different way. He's going to lie. If you lie, then something different going to come out. Mm-hmm. But when you're telling the truth, y'all stay with the truth. Watch Jesus work with these guys. You judge out of the flesh.
I judge no man.
I don't do it like that. He said, well, man, when he said judge out of flesh, you can look at me and make a judgment call. You still think your judgment is after the flesh. That don't have no value with God. Amen. Notice what he says. Judge no man. What do you mean? He let their lives and conscience. Remember last week when we talked about the woman adultery? They caught her, but they didn't expose the man. And Jesus kind of act like he was ignoring them. And he just came back and said, I tell y'all what. Let the one without sin, let him first cast the stone. We quote that backwards. We say cast the first stone. He said, let him first cast the stone. He said, brother, that's minor, but I just like Bible. We see a lot of things that ain't quite accurate. Go back and read that. I just caught that myself. I used to say it too. What did he say?
So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you,
that's it.
Let him first cast
the
stone.
We say
at her.
Cast the first stone. Now he didn't say throw the first stone. He said the first one who figured out you ain't got no sin, you the first one to throw. He didn't say first stone. He said first you. The first one who figured out you can talk about that woman and you can't talk about yourself, then you throw a stone. You first one. I want the first one who can do that. And guess what happened? Them old men, conscience got to working on them. They start thinking about that thing. Said, man, which first one of us going to say it, going to throw it? Ain't nobody throw a stone. You want to know why? The truth be told, Jesus never called it adultery. He said, the first one without no sin, you throw the rock. Now, which one of y'all can throw a rock? Go ahead and throw it at me. Some folks throw because it's an opportunity. He said, do it. Nah. Here's what he's saying. What Jesus said, I don't judge like that, but your conscience will convict you.
You know what makes us make a confession in church? Conscience. Man, I just ain't been where I should be. I know it. I know it. You know it. God, I don't know it, but you know it, and God knows it. The person who's standing knowing, God knows it. Mm-hmm. So if your conscience don't cause you to make change, it doesn't matter how much someone appeal to you to make change, you're not going to do it. Notice what he said, verse 16. Here's hasten to a close here.
And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me.
Jesus basically said, if I did judge you, I wouldn't be wrong about it, because I don't judge like you judge. Me and my Father are one in the judgment of a man or a woman. But while I'm there, let me do this little side note for the liberals. I was listening to a talk show. I think it was Carson Tucker debating with this new movement that's attempting to take man. You stop using the word man or male. I could not believe what I was hearing. I mean, it ain't, you know, let's call it what it is. It's the gay rights movement, it's the LGBT. This is what it is. They're trying to get us away from God, y'all. They saying that they want to remove. Let's say something like we should not say mail carrier, mailman no more. We need to change that to mail carrier, package carrier. Get Genesis 1:26. I'm sure how against God this is. This ain't even in the text, but just because I said man, woman, I need to talk to y'all about it. You got to be careful what folks saying. This is anti-Christ, anti-God rhetoric. This is nothing but a movement for homosexuality, and they want to take man, male out of our vernacular of English. Nothing is man-made no more. It's human-made. Gosh, what? Get the book, Genesis 1. I wanted to go. I said, Tucker, let me have her. Genesis 1:26. Give me the book now. Genesis 1:26. The book said, God said what?
Let us make man in our image.
What did he say, let us make?
Man.
He didn't say human. He said, let us make man.
In our own image.
In our own image. Read on.
After our likeness.
Yeah.
And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea,
yeah,
and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Oh, now watch this.
So God created man in his own image.
Now here's what he did. When he created man in his own image, read.
In the image of God
created he him. In the image of God created he him.
Male and female.
M-A-L-E. Man is called male and
female.
Male and, say it with me, female. And the male is in both of them. How the man going to tell us to stop using the word male? Forever, Lord, that word is settled in heaven. The Supreme Court of heaven done ruled on that matter. I don't need to discuss it with no human being.
Amen.
Take man out of nothing. I'm going to keep saying man-made. Male and female. The psalmist wrote that. He said, forever, oh Lord, that word is settled. This matter of homosexuality and this stuff, you're going to have to twist everything up to get it okay. That's why I got a Queen James version of the Bible in my office. Y'all ever heard of that one? It's called Queen James. You want a Bible that'll fit homosexuality? They got it wrote, and on the front of it, it got rainbow. Rainbow don't mean nothing, but it ain't going to be water next time, but fire.
That's an old preacher in me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. That's just that old evangelist in me right there. It ain't going to be water next time. That rainbow don't mean nothing other than God is coming back. It ain't have nothing to do with homosexuality.
So why are people trying to, this movement, you got to be careful what you let your children learn in school. This is stuff they're trying to. This came from one of the big, I think it was Duke University students that was coming up with it. One of the universities, I may have it wrong. You can go Google it. You'll find it. How many of y'all heard it? Was it just me? So some of y'all don't watch Fox News. That's amazing to me. Simply, tremendously amazing that people are doing these things today. Brother Brooks told you about it. Then
Go back. I got off of it. Go back to verse 16. He said, yet if I judge, my judgment is true. I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Jesus saying, you know, when I here's how God judged. Go to 1 Corinthians 16:7, just so I can speed this up really quick. Let me close it out. Because 1 Corinthians, all God does is here's what he does. Here's what he does. And the Lord said unto Samuel, what? Look not on his countenance nor on the height of his stature, because I refuse him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on what? 1 Samuel 16:7. Outward appearance. But the Lord looketh on the heart. So what God is judging me based on right now is my heart or my mind on what I'm thinking. So his judgment is going to be completely accurate. There's no error. So Jesus said, if I judge you, I'm going to my judgment is going to be true. Because I know the inner man. And that's what we got to understand is that the sin occurs in the heart. The thought of it. So his judgment, I mean, what is our judgment going to look like on the day of judgment? Here's the thing. There's nothing we going to get away with. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us to the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing. In other words, when judgment comes, it's nothing that we going to get away with that's not forgiven. Here's what you need to do. Get baptized, live right, walk in the light, stay in the blood, so that nothing comes up on the day of judgment. He said, your sins I will remember no more. And then let's go on to the next verse in John. I came down here so I don't have to look at my nose no more. Let's go. Come on, because I got more points up there. I can't do them. Can you help me right here? That's John chapter 8, New Testament.
And yet if I judge, my judgment is true.
Yeah.
For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me.
Go ahead on.
It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true.
Now, he putting Bible on. He wearing these guys out. They don't know no Bible. You get a person don't know no Bible. I just listened to him. I said, this guy don't know no Bible. You know, I really don't need to work on him too hard because he don't know no Bible. Use some common sense approach. So Jesus said, I don't know. They're two witnesses, me and God, so you know your Bible's got to be true. Him and his Father. Read on.
I am one that bear witness of myself.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the Father that sent me bear witness of me.
Keep on.
Then said they unto him, where is thy Father?
Yeah.
Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father.
Mm-hmm.
If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also.
Right.
These words spake Jesus in the treasury,
mm-hmm.
as he taught in the temple, mm-hmm. and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come.
They couldn't kill him then. It wasn't his time. Go on.
Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me.
Well, I'm going where I'm going. He's going to heaven. You're going to want to go.
Your sins.
But you ain't going to make it because you're going to die in your sins.
Whether I go, you cannot come.
So you can't go to heaven if you die in your sins. That's why you need to get baptized this morning. You need to come back to the house this morning, repent of your sin this morning, because if you die tonight, you can't go to heaven. Amen. Read on.
Then said the Jews, will he kill himself?
And they said, what are you talking about? Read.
Because he said, whether I go, ye cannot come.
Okay, read on.
And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world.
They think in darkness, he's light. He's on the same track. Read on.
I said therefore unto you,
mm-hmm.
that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe
not. Now, here's the
not,
point. Here's the point. And this is what we need. He said, you're going to die if you don't believe.
For if that you believe I am he, not that I am he,
that
you
I
shall
am
die in your sins.
You're going to die, but because unbelief going to cause you to die. See, and that's, even members of the church can get to the point where they don't believe they got to be faithful to go to heaven. That's unbelief. Read on.
Then said they unto him,
yeah.
who art thou?
Yeah.
And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning.
Yeah, I've been telling y'all who I was. You just don't believe it. Read.
I have many things to say and to judge of you.
Yeah.
But he that sent me is true.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him.
Yeah, real.
They understood not that he spake to them of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Jesus unto them,
mm-hmm.
when ye have lifted up the
okay,
Son of Man.
Okay, here's my sermon, Tyler. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then
shall ye know
you
that
know.
I am he.
Now here's the thing. What he was saying to them, y'all ain't going to believe until y'all see me hanging on that cross between those two thieves. That's what he's saying. Then it's too late. You're going to believe only when you see that. Because remember the centurion saw you? He said, truly, this was who? The Son of God. And so what he was saying to them, the same thing America, the same thing we're going to have to do. And you know, this goes against what America's preacher has taught. What America's preacher has taught. And he's laying in state. He's dead now. He know if he was teaching the truth now. It was America preacher, but he's not mine. They call him Billy Graham. They call him Reverend Billy Graham, but I never say Reverend. Billy Graham taught a lot. He told people all they had to do was believe. And be said, he said, as long as you do it, we all, as long as we believe in Christ, no matter where you go to church, he drew crowds. But that's not what Jesus said. Mark 16, 15, and 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He never said, accept Jesus in your heart. He never said, believe only. He never said none of that stuff Billy Graham said. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So a believer in Jesus will believe Jesus over Billy Graham. Amen. How do we be saved today? You got to believe and be baptized. Why? Because that's what Jesus said do. Doesn't matter what Billy said. And he know now. He know now, just like the rich man. If he made it, he'll know. If he didn't make it, he know and do. Yeah, that's the problem. Some of us going to have to just die and see. Am I right about it? Some folks that don't believe there's nothing after death, maybe not. Yes, I always say this at funerals. They got the iPhone, Androids, and all them other ones now with the Superfly phone. Their smartphone, they call them. They so smart. Charge them up really good and just leave this in your wheel. Charge my phone up real good. And when I get up and get on out of here, I'll put that thing in my casket with me. And I'm gonna get down there. And if ain't nothing to it with this Brother Brooks stuff talking about, this Church of Christ, and ain't nothing to being saved, ain't nothing baptism, then you tell them to send me a text, 281-750-2702. You connect to the hot fire down there, and you connect to it, and you send me a message back. Say, Brother Brooks, ain't no hell, ain't no heaven, ain't nothing but pleasure. And I'm going to stop preaching this stuff, because I know if you dead and gone, it's going to scare me. I said, man, I got attacked. But I got to see the phone in the coffin. A little humor right there to break the ice here, because I talk about some of y'all preaching. Billy Graham is not God's preacher. He didn't preach the truth. He preached Christ. You could preach Christ and never preach the truth. You got to preach the truth according to what's written in the light. And what's written is that they lifted him up after beating him. After beating God's child, they lifted him up, bruised and battered and suffering, and he hung. They lifted him up on a cross, and he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. The drawing power of God is his son dying on the cross, and people got to love God for sending his son and love his son for suffering on that cross. And when you love God and you love his son, you will come to him, you'll obey him, and you'll walk in the light, you'll follow his instructions to stay faithful to him as your Savior. That's called the crucifixion. The most saddest story ever told is the greatest story of saving mankind today. It's God's story. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the crucifixion on the cross. It's him between two thieves. They gave him vinegar to drink before they crucified him. They crucified him and hung him up there for 6 hours. He would stay on that cross for all of us. And if we don't believe it, we can't be saved. But when they took him down, they buried him in a tomb. He gave the command to go and teach the gospel. He that believeth is baptized shall be what? Saved. That's it, y'all. What we got to do? Believe all of it. Be saved. Take communion every Sunday. Get into church in the Bible. Follow the Bible terms. Be a Christian. Don't be just any kind of Christian. You say, Lord, I want to be a Christian according to the scripture. I want to be a Christian according to truth. And I'm going to tell you about this preacher. I'm never going to back down from the preaching of the oneness of the church, of the oneness of Christ, of the truth of salvation. I'm going to stand and I'm going to preach it because I know it's right. I believe it's right. I'm going to die believing it's right. And you got to convince yourself that you are a believer. You're going to be a believer. And then you shall know when you see him on the cross, you can believe it with your mind, but you'll never see it with your eye. And when you believe it with your mind, you are knowing your heart that he is the Son of God. That's a good lesson, Brother Brooks. I agree. And here it is. I want you to do. I want you to come. If you got prayer requests, let us pray with you. God is able to get you through whatever you're going through. If you need prayer, come down and we'll pray with you. If you want to get baptized, come down. If you want to come back to the Lord, come down. We come coming. And here's how you come. You come as a Christian. You say, Lord, I just want to be what? Just in my heart, somewhere. All right. Y'all ready? Let us come as together we stand.